Very good morning to one and all. This morning and tonight we shall look at two practical applications on how the Word of God ought to protect us. This morning we shall focus our study on Proverbs chapter 5 on the lure of sexual sins. Throughout the Old Testament you'll find that there are many of God's servants who have succumbed to the lure of sexual sin. David, the man after God's own heart, though he was a very godly and good king, he had 9 wives and numerous concubines. Solomon, his son, 700 wives, 3,000 concubines. And if you read on and on, you'll find that in the days of the judges, there were also those who led a very loose and immoral sexual life. In the period of the kings, likewise, the same situation, same scenario, same problem. But when it came to the church, you realize that the apostles, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, wrote very strongly against having more than one wife. And in Proverbs chapter 5, we shall look at the lure of sexual sin to have a glimpse as to how loose women, strange women, the Bible calls them, would lure, attract, seduce the simple man, the simpleton, the simple ones into their prey, into their web, and then destroy them. Beware of honeycomb lips. You find it in the first six verses of Proverbs chapter 5. They will begin with sweet talk. Honeycomb is pure and sweet. It is not only just pure and sweet, but it is the purest and the sweetest of all honey, right from the honeycomb itself. And the Bible described their lips as that of honeycomb. The mouth is smoother than oil. See, very often we husbands think that we are the ones who got the wife. We courted them, we called them out, we invited them. But if you think very carefully, actually they are the ones who got us. True or not true? Out of home. Jeffrey says no. The first two verses is a reminder. My son, attend unto my wisdom, bow thy ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Once again, the precondition that will protect us from such women would be the Word of God. An inclination, an ever-prepared heart to obey the Word of God. If this is not our heart's desire, and this is not our intent, we all are very prone to what honeycomb-lipped women can do to us. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Beginning, very sweet, very seductive. Everything seems so fine and so bright. But the moment you enter in, and you realize that that brightness, that bright light will quickly turn into darkness, and you will be plunged into a life of bitterness, bitter as wormwood, to the point of poisonous, sharp as a two-edged sword. Your heart, your life will be pierced. Your entire life will be ruined by that one very terrible, terrible act. And the final conclusion, she will lead you one step at a time toward death, And then her steps will take hold on hell. Synonymous parallelism. Begins, ends, sums up three verses. The life of a strange woman, if you were to take hold of this life that she offers you. How will she do it? Proverbs chapter 7 will teach us how they would do it. The mode of operation, modus operandi of a strange woman. Verse 4. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, call understanding thy kinswoman. That means make sure you keep close to wisdom. Let it be with you everywhere you go that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. And this is how she will do it. Verse 6. Take note, young men, husbands. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, the naive ones, those with little knowledge of God's word. They may be lawyers, they may be doctors, they may be people with long degrees, very educated, very established in society. But if you do not have God's word, he will be called the simple one. And I know of many well-established professionals, architects in particular, because I rubbed shoulders with some of them before. They are so well off, financially speaking, that it becomes more like a norm to have a mistress in that circle. And it is not a crime. Do you know in our society, in our age, to commit adultery? Not in the days of Israel. According to God's law, if you commit adultery, you have to pay a very, very heavy penalty. And if you marry someone whom you thought was a virgin, and then after you get married and she was not, you report her to the elders and she was supposed to be stoned to death. Adulterers were to be stoned to death. Do you know that? But today, it becomes part and parcel of high societal life. The Bible addressed these people as the simple ones. I discern among the youths a young man void of understanding. Young people, watch yourself. Watch yourself because you are at an age whereby your hormonal level burns the brightest and the strongest. And you lack experience, and what you need is the Word of God to help you understand, to help you take control of this period of your young life where the norm, the pattern is to have safe sex. Not that illicit sex, fornication is wrong, but to have safe sex. That's what the government is teaching young people. And so if you look at a survey, you find that our young children, many of them, have already lost their virginity. Very sad indeed, isn't it? That our young children, 13, 14, 15 years old, can indulge and get themselves involved in this kind of sin. Christian children, not excluded. Children of Christian parents, also not excluded. This young man, void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Do you know that this black and dark night, the word black, is the same word that is used in verse 2, that talks about the apple of thy eye? Let my law be as the apple of thy eye. The word apple is the same word that is translated as black in verse 9. Literally, the apple of thy eye may be translated as the pupil of the eye, that dark spot in your eye. That is the meaning of the phrase, the apple of the eye. That means let the law of God be most precious to you, like that dark spot in your eye. in the black and dark night. That is the time when evil will surface, when those who do bad things, sinful things, illegal things, criminal things, will surface and come out of its hold, its shell, to deceive, to cheat, to destroy, to maim, to kill, to murder. And this strange woman would be lurking at street corners in the twilight. And that simple one, the young man void of understanding, will pass to street corner near where she would live, her house. Please, flee. Don't see how far or how near you can go to a crevice before you fall over and hurt yourself and die and perish. So the first thing that you must do is to flee. Run away. Don't go near and be burned. That's the warning. Because the moment they see you coming, this is what she would do. Verse 10. There met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. What is the attire of an harlot? In today's context, the attire of a harlot would be someone who has painted lips, dressed in a manner that is very seductive. She will doll herself up and make herself very pretty. Is it any different? No, I do not think so. What do you think Potiphar's wife looked like? Do you realize that at that point in young Joseph's life, he was like this young man, but he was not devoid of understanding. He was not a simpleton. The Bible did not describe to us how Potiphar's wife dressed up, whether she had painted faces or not. It was left totally blank. Do you know why? The reason is because different people are attracted by different makeup of the person. And Satan knows what is that little chink in your armor. You may be attracted to the homely, unpainted face type of woman. And God may allow Satan to send this kind of woman into your life just as he allowed Potiphar's wife to be sent into young Joseph's life, where he was able to stand the test. They may be found in your places of work. They may be found in church. Are these the kind of women that will attract you? These are the kind of women that you must watch out for. Now, I'm not saying that there are people in our church who are like this woman. Okay? This kind of woman, their job is that of a prostitute, a harlot. But you and I have to be very careful that in today's society, not every woman would cherish the vow that you make where on your wedding day, you took the oath, made a covenant with your life partner and with God. Let no man put your marriage asunder. That means let no one come between your marriage and destroy it. Put it asunder. Cause it to be shipwrecked. They will not care. But you must care. But if you go near to homes, places like this, where this kind of loose women are found, you are playing with worse than fire. They will be there to attract you, and through the subtleness of heart, deceive you. She is loud and stubborn. The word loud there means she will be able to talk very well, full of talk. That's what it means. Stubborn. She will be very determined in what she wants to do, that is to get you. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without. She's outside. Now in the streets. Lieth in wait at every corner for that simple one, that fool. Young people, do you go out with your friends, hang around at void decks, shopping centers? Christians must never, never do that. How can Christians have so much time to kill? that you want to hang around with riffraff. Do not be found in bars. Do not be found in discotheques. These are the places today where such women will ply their trade, lay in wait for the fool. So she caught him, kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. You pretend to be religious. You want a religious person, right? She says, I have already paid my vows in the temple. I have offered my peace offerings with God. I am very religious, a holy woman. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have been looking for someone just like this. All the men that I have known are never like you, so kind, so sweet, so gentle. That's what she'll say. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. After the night of talking, getting to know you, inflating your ego, why don't you come home for a cup of coffee? You like coffee, right? Have some biscuits. I cook, I bake pretty well as well. Come. There's no one at home. We will have privacy. We can talk more. Come into my house. And so you walk dumbly into her house, like a lamb led to the slaughter. And you go in there to drink that coffee. And then she'll tell you, everything is all made ready. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, with aloes, and with cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love unto the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. For the good man, my husband, no one is home. Where anyway, if he's gone away on a long journey, you won't get caught. He had taken a bag of money with him. He's on business and will come home at the day appointed, some time away. He will not come back until next week. So we have all this time. No one will know. Your wife will know. You told her that you're on business, right? We are merely business acquaintance. Everything seems so safe and secret. No one will know. How enticing she is, isn't it? Those who will lure you to rob with them will always tell you that it is safe. We will share the spoils with you. This woman will also tell you the same thing. It is safe. Is it ever safe? The fear of God will tell us that God is omnipresent, omniscient. Nowhere can we hide. Nothing can we do is out of God's sight. Are you really safe in the motel room with that woman? No one knows, hundreds and thousands of miles away from home. God knows that God was there. God's seen it all. But the woman won't tell you that. Your guard is down. She's a religious woman, is she not? Offered a peace offering. You can't offer a peace offering until you have offered a burnt offering, the sin offering, and then the peace offering. So when she mentions, I have peace offerings, that means she has redone the other two. And I come to you also in peace. I have done my part with God. These are the people that you are attracted to. These are the people Satan will send to cause you to stumble, to fall. Leaders especially, watch. Watch yourself. Because if they can cause a leader to fall, Satan, he would have a very, very good victory. Because when a leader falls, the congregation, the people that he looks after, will also be stumbled. The reputation of the church would be ruined very quickly, very swiftly, as compared to just a member here, a member there. Watch yourself. She hasn't finished with you yet. With her much fair speech, she calls him to yield. She will pester. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. You see how good the Bible is? With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Through flattery, you never force anyone. Because when you flatter someone, the someone will be so willing to do it. But the Bible describes it in such a way that it's so accurate, isn't it? She will force you to do what she wants you to do with flattery, when actually you, because of flattery, willingly would do it. From the Bible perspective, he forced you. Did she really? He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, until a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. His 20, 30 years of marriage, ruined by that one very act. And the moment he succumbed, finished. This guilt, this burden will be in him. When he returns home, the 20-hour flight, he will carry the burden with him. When he comes home, open the door, see his wife, his children, he's never the same again. That burden will remain in his heart. He comes to church for prayer meeting, that burden is there. He attends session meeting, that burden is there. He reads the scriptures, that burden is there. The things that he used to love to do with a free and open conscience, forever gone, until this sin is confessed. He has taken his life, not in the actual physical sense, because of that one very act. But if this person persists in this kind of sin, truly he will also lose his life as well. Everything that he hold dear would be gone. If he is found out, he knows very well that he cannot be an elder, a deacon, or a pastor anymore. If he is found out, he knows very well that his relationship with his wife will never be the same again, because it's already not. The wife does not know. The wife may treat him the same, but he may respond differently. But that 20 years of trust that you have built up, destroyed. And the next time when you go on another trip, will the wife suspect anything when you return? Can she still trust you like the way she trusted you for 20 long years? And you look at your children, your eyes that behold them now, different eyes. You are a failure as a father because you have betrayed the vow that you have made to your children's mother. You see the final result of succumbing to the lure of this woman. In the beginning, it sounds so sweet, so good, until you are caught. Like an ox led to the slaughter, that's how God would describe any man who succumbs to an adulterous affair. You will be considered as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, attend to the words of my mouth, let not thy heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Chapter 7 is a very, very good description of the first 5 verses of Proverbs chapter 5. The mode of operation of an adulterous woman. Parents, you have a teenage son, get your son to read this chapter. If possible, get him to memorize it, that he will carry this in his heart. Wherever he goes, he will not forget this portion of scripture. Wives, get your husbands to memorize this, to know this, through and through, through and through, through and through. Flee youthful lust is the Bible's command. Why? Because the youth are the people most prone to fall into this sin. There's this pastor by the name of Reverend Walter Cowan. He had been a pastor for 43 years. He shared this and said, "I'd like to offer this suggestion to any inexperienced young minister who do not know how to handle a very bold woman in his congregation who had a design on him." All right, one of the reasons why our BP rule, unwritten rule, is that in order for you to be ordained, you have to be married first. Okay? This is the rule. If you are not married, you will not be ordained. Okay? It's a very good rule. It's a safe rule. And this is what he tells the young man. "Whenever I notice a romantic twinkle in the eye of a woman in my congregation," he says, 43 years as a pastor, "I always check to make sure that it was not caused by a reflection from the gleam in my own eye." A good advice, isn't it? When you see anyone around you with a gleam in her eye looking at you, look in the mirror. Is it caused by the reflection of the gleam in your eye? Good advice, isn't it? Young people, watch yourself. Please. "Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her. Come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thy honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel." Very true. Remove thy way far from her. Go as far as possible from such people. "And come not nigh the door of her house, because if you are caught by them, you will give up your honor to other people, and the good years of your life, you have given it up to cruelty, to a hard life. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, they will take away all your wealth." You work hard supporting two women, three women, four women in your life. "And thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when the flesh and thy body are consumed." You and I have only one life to live. Live it well. If you ruin it because of a strange woman, you cannot claim back that life. It is gone. You may be 17 years old. If you get yourself involved with a loose woman, and by the time you wake up, you may be 37. 20 good years of your life gone. And when you are 37, you look back at your life. What do you have? Absolutely nothing but a broken life with a broken relationship in ruin. Your wealth, all gone. Dumped into what? Into a hole that is bottomless. You marry a good Christian young lady. You have a good Christian family. You work hard. Your wealth, your labor, all in the family. You see your children grow up. You see your family grow together with you in love, in your relationship with God. This is the fruit of your wonderful married life. If you indulge in a relationship with a strange woman, you have zero. Big fat zero. And 20 good years of your life gone. Finished. And what you have would be a reflection, a recollection, like what this King Solomon is telling us. And when your body has been consumed, your flesh has been wasted away because of your sexual desires, and then now you say, "How have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof?" You regret. Filled with remorse and regret, how I wish. It's too late, isn't it? Filled with regret and remorse and loneliness, Once upon a time, a youth leader. Now, nothing. You call up your friends. They are now deacons. Some are elders. Serving the Lord with joy, with gladness. And you look at yourself. Absolutely nothing. What happened to my life? You may ask. I wish I had listened to the counsel from my elders, to the counsel from the president of my YF. I wish I had listened. Many young people who used to be in our church, they are not here anymore. What happened to them? Some have moved to other churches, fine. But others have just gone the way of backsliding. They are so caught up with the things of the world. They are not in church anymore. And perhaps some of them might not even be in the faith at all. What happened to their young life? Perhaps when you see them again, if the Lord tarries 20 years from now, you may not even recognize that person. His life gone. Finished. And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, he will regret further, nor incline my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the... They are so caught up with the things of the world. They are not in church anymore. And perhaps some of them might not even be in the faith at all. What happened to their young life? Perhaps when you see them again, if the Lord tarries 20 years from now, you may not even recognize that person. His life gone, finished. And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, he will regret further, nor incline my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. In other words, when he was in the midst of the congregation and assembly, he says that I was almost in all evil. I was putting up a front. I was a hypocrite. I pretend to be a Christian. I pretend to be a good Israelite. This was written to the nation of Israel by King Solomon. When you marry someone in the days of the Old Testament, you not only marry the person, you take hold of the person's religion as well. And in King Solomon's case, when he married his 700 wives, he built temples for the gods of his numerous wives. And that is why God judged him, and after his death, for the sake of King David, God only removed 10 tribes from Israel. 2 tribes were still given to the lineage of King David for King David's sake. But Solomon spoiled it all. When you marry someone who is not of the faith, you fall into the same pitfall and problem. Watch out for them. In the banks of the Amazon River lives a very kind, very special type of spiders. They are a very large species, very colorful spiders, very beautiful to look at. So much so that when one of these creatures spreads itself out, it looks exactly like the blossom of a brilliant flower. Bees and other insects, thinking that it is a flower, would light upon it, expecting to find honey. Instead, the spider would secrete a poison that drops some of them onto the insects, and they die immediately, and they become food for that spider. Strange women are like that spider, very beautiful to look at until you draw near. Poison will be secreted, and then you die. How do you know that you are growing old? Very easy. First, your hair will fall. Your eyes will grow dim. I can't see too near now. I try to read with my glasses. I can't. I could take off my glasses to read. It's terrible. It started only this year. It's scary, isn't it? You always think that you are young and you still have many more years to go. And then now these things happen.
They have already arrived at middle age. Now, downhill. Young people, live your life well. I look back on my life. 40 years have gone so quickly. What have I done for the Lord? If I want to relive my 40 years, I can't. Hoping to erase some of the mistakes of my past, I can't. This second portion of Proverbs chapter 5 warns us that you must live your life well so that there will be no regret when you have lived that life of yours. Don't waste it on a strange woman. What do you think, in your opinion, is the most precious human relationship in life? Is it between parent and child? Do you think that is the most precious, most endearing? When a man finds a wife, the Bible tells us he must leave father and mother and cleave unto the wife, correct? And so there is this leaving and cleaving concept. It's as if where the son is adult enough now to stand on his own two feet, leave the parents. You are on your own now. Do you have any portion in scriptures whereby the Bible tells you that a husband, now you can leave your wife? None. The only condition is, till death do you part. No other. Adultery, you may say, that is not according to God's original design when God gave us the institution of marriage. That's what Jesus says. The adultery clause was given because of the hardness of man's heart. And so I ask you this question. Is the Christian supposed to have a hard heart or a heart of flesh? We are supposed to have the heart of flesh. And so this adulterous clause should not be a clause that we conveniently use for us to leave our loved ones. There is no human relationship closer to that between a husband and a wife. It is so close, so mysterious a union that the Lord Jesus Christ, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, gave to us in Ephesians chapter 5, a treatise explaining that this mysterious union between a husband and a wife is likened to the Lord's relationship with His church, the invisible church. That's how unique and how special that relationship. Please do not ruin it. Cherish it. Protect it. Defend it. Guard it well. Husband and wife. Guard that relationship well. Don't let anyone or anything come in between it. It is sacred. It is precious. It is the most enduring relationship that God has given to us on this earth between two human beings, that of a husband and a wife. And so the Bible tells us from verse 15 to 23, be content with marital love. Drink waters out of thy own cistern, singular, not cisterns, thy own cistern, and running waters out of thy own well, synonymous parallelism, full of it, telling us, be satisfied, be content with your life partner. Don't compare. Please, be content with your life partner. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thy own and not strangers with thee. Don't waste your life. The motive of water and spring in verse 6 is a Semitic image here to describe someone who throws water from his well into the street. A foolish and wasteful gesture, because in the East water is very scarce, and this picture of waste is even more meaningful, illustrating the activity of an oversexed male who fathers children all over town. When they are born, he doesn't even acknowledge them.
Because he doesn't even know who the children whom he had fathered. This is what it means. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. You are a fool then. Let them be only thy own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed. Rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the roving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? You have all the blessings that God has given to you. Please don't ruin it. Look at your wife. She is the mother of your children. Consider and thank God for her. Grow old together. Love the Lord together. Don't destroy it because of a strange woman. It is not worth it. Hold your life, your marital life, as very, very precious. Please. There is not enough emphasis in churches today to warn husbands and wives of this kind of preciousness that God has given to us. We take this for granted. In America in the 1970s, the chances of marriages succeeding 1 in 2. Today, 20 years later, the percentage surely has dropped. If you have been married for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, you are living a life against the odds today. Singapore is catching up. Watch yourself. If you have a life partner, thank God for the life partner. Keep close, communicate, talk, share, love one another. If you have not, make sure you find someone based upon godly, biblical characteristics that God has given to us in the scripture. How do you find a life partner? First, the person must be a Christian, number one. Secondly, thirdly, the person must be someone whom God has placed in your heart with your particular kind of calling. If you are called to full-time ministry, and if this life partner doesn't want, or this potential life partner doesn't want you to go into full-time ministry, then most likely that person is not the one whom God wants you to be. She may be a Christian, very godly, but if God has called you and she doesn't want you to be in the full-time, then she could not and cannot be that person. You will have your particular calling from God. Choose someone whom God will give you that will help you fulfill God's calling for you in your life, in your ministry. If not, you are in deep, deep trouble. She may be a Christian, but if she is a worldly Christian, you are in deep trouble. Every time you want to draw near to God, she will grumble and mumble and complain. You are finished. You are finished. Imagine a pastor who has a wife who doesn't want him to be a pastor. He cannot be a pastor. How to be a pastor? And your wife keeps on nagging at you. Every time you counsel someone, you receive a call in the middle of the night, you have to go, and your wife will murmur and complain. And then you quarrel. Just before you leave, you quarrel. And after you finish your counseling, 1 a.m. in the morning, you want to come home, also you don't feel like coming home. You just quarrel with your wife. There's no joy in the house. What's the point of coming home? You feel miserable. You can't. Be sure you choose a life partner who loves the Lord just as much as you love the Lord. Who wants to obey the Lord just as you want to obey the Lord. Not just a Christian. There are many people who call themselves Christians today. You can't marry a charismatic Christian unless you are prepared to be a charismatic. It is very, very hard for you to marry a Baptist Christian unless you are prepared to be a Baptist. Or she is prepared to be a Bible Presbyterian. And so therefore, the best would be a Bible Presbyterian. And if you marry a Bible Presbyterian, you have to make sure you marry the right kind of Bible Presbyterian. Because now there are Bible Presbyterians who use the NIV, who are near evangelicals, who are only Bible Presbyterians in name, but nothing else. You see how small the field you have. Very sad, Elder Fung says. So now it's up to you. Up to you. To pray and ask the Lord to direct and to guide you. We cannot follow the Mormons. The Mormons, they have a teaching in their belief that women who are single cannot enter into heaven. For you to go into heaven, you must be married. And so therefore, I help many more women to go into heaven, so I have many wives. That's their belief, that was the teaching. And that is why many of them have many wives. Not in Singapore, of course, because in Singapore, the civil law of the government overrides all religious law. And so if you're a Mormon in Singapore, you have more than one wife, you'll get into trouble. Not in other parts of the world, where the civil law is subservient to the religious law. They can do what they want. It's different. They call it individual liberty, religious freedom. We can't do that. That is wrong. That is unbiblical. Choose your life partner well, and your life will not be ruined. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cause of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. A final, final warning. We live in a world that is filled with sex everywhere. The mass media, magazines, television, newspaper, everywhere. Look at the newspaper advertisement filled with sex. And that is why it is even more important today for us to beware of this danger. Because the moment you enter into it, there is no other sin that the Bible describes that is worse than a sexual sin. Because a sexual sin affects the inner person. You tell a lie, that's it. You are a thief. It's external. But a sexual sin that you commit against God with, it affects the entire soul of the person. It's a terrible, hateful sin. Please, watch yourself. There is this largest boulder in the world that many people would flock to see. And some of them would want to walk on top of it to feel the thrill of standing on top of the largest boulder on the entire planet. And so there was this brash young man. After he climbed to the apex, the top of this boulder, he was walking down on the other side where everybody was walking back on the safe side. He was walking down to see how far, how near he could go. Then he would walk on and on and on until he came to a point in time where he could not stop. He could not turn around and walk back because of the gradient, the steepness of the boulder. He kept on going and he was shouting, screaming for help, for help. The people who were there just looked at him. They couldn't do a thing. And as he was shouting for help and for help, he kept on falling, falling, until he fell to his death. The life with a strange woman is like that. You keep on falling and falling and falling until you fall to your death. Don't even go near to the house. Don't even go near to places where these kind of women are found. Watch yourself. Watch yourself. Guard your relationship with your husband, wife. Husband, guard your relationship with your wife. Guard it well. Don't let work come in between it. Don't let your children come between it. Guard it well. And the way to guard it is to love the Lord. When you love the Lord, you will learn to love your wife and your husband. This is what the Bible has revealed to us in the scriptures. Beware of the lure of sexual sin. Many have fallen prey. Many have been laid by the wayside because of the sin. May it not be so in our life. May God be merciful to help us. Take hold of wisdom. Incline our ears to God's word that we will not fall prey
to the honeycomb lips of strange women. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we acknowledge, O Lord, that we live in a world that is wicked, a world that is like the roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We are surrounded by wickedness. The morality of the age and time that we live in is likened to that of Sodom and Gomorrah. O Father, we pray especially for ourselves and for the young people in our midst, that Thou will help us to be pure before Thee and before men. Help us to live a life that is God-honoring. And we pray, O Lord, that Thou will help all of us who are married to be satisfied with our life partner, the one whom Thou hast given to us in our youth. Help us, O Lord, to be ever content with our loved one because of Thee, because Thou hast been good to Thy people. Thou hast given to us a family. Thou hast given to us a good life. Help us not to ruin it because of one act of foolishness. I pray for the young people especially, that Thou will keep them pure even at an early age. For Thou hast saved them. Thou hast called them into Thy kingdom for a time such as these, that they can be the salt and light of this earth. May they learn to be like young Joseph, to flee from such temptation, and that they will determine in their hearts not to defile themselves because of a strange woman. Be merciful to us, O Lord, as parents, that we may have the wisdom, the strength, the courage, and the determination to teach our children well in this issue, that they will grow up to be men and women after Thy own heart, living a holy and pure life before Thee. Cleanse us of our sins, the many times that we have failed Thee and failed our loved ones. May Thou forgive us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.